morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of A Pen and a Napkin Podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome back to our interview series, episode number 272. Very, very excited to have on Chris Freeland, the head boys basketball coach at Dundee County Stratton out in the southwestern corner of Nebraska here. Coach Freeland's been at Dundee County for quite a while here, and really excited to talk some hoops with him here today. But before we get to Coach Freeland, we, of course, want to thank our founding sponsor, Cosac Chiropractic, located at 144th and Maple here in Omaha. Coaches, if you or any of your athletes are struggling with balance, neck, or spinal issues, and you are in the Omaha area, don't be afraid to look up Dr. Kevin or Dr. Heidi. Give them a call, 402-964-0300. Follow us on Twitter at A Pen and a Napkin. We try to put out daily coaching tidbits on the Twitter handle, so be sure to follow us there. If you're listening, first of all, subscribe. Second of all, download. Third of all, rate. Fourth of all, review. Give us 5 stars. Say good things about A Pen and a Napkin. If you do that, we move up in the rankings. When people look up coaching basketball podcasts, that helps us out a ton as well. So please be sure to do that. Questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas, email me, apenandanapkin@gmail.com. By the time we get done with all, by the time you hear this podcast, our Coaches Clinic will have happened. If you are interested in ordering videos from the Coaches Clinic, just reach out to me, apenandanapkin@gmail.com. I'll give you the details to order the videos in case you did not make it to Omaha for the clinic itself. So be sure to do that. But enough of that stuff. It is time for the main event. It is time for the man of the hour. It is Mr. Chris Freeland, the head boys basketball coach, Dundee County Stratton High School. Coach, how you doing this fine? I think it's a Monday. Yes, it's a Monday afternoon. How you doing, Coach?
It's a Monday. Yeah.
It's a Monday in April. Yes.
Yeah. It's we have 30 school days left. So that always brings a wild time in everybody's life, and everybody needs to be on their toes.
Absolutely. I thought it was only the kids and the seniors that counted down.
No, I'm pretty sure the teachers started this about 3 weeks ago.
I started in September, but we're not going to get into details there. So, well, Chris, thanks so much for coming on here today. Really excited to have you on here. Got a chance to talk to you, get to know you a little bit on the pre-roll here before we started taping, but I'm not going to hog all of that information to myself. I'm going to allow the basketball world at large to know a little bit about you. So, Coach, you know, let's just start this out the way we normally start out our podcast here. Tell us a little bit about your basketball journey and how you ended up at Dundee County Stratton.
Well, my basketball journey started with some great high school coaches and teachers that got me on my educational journey to being a coach and a teacher. You know, Mr. O'Neill was pretty prevalent in shaping some of my morals that I felt like I needed to give back, and so I've spent 12 years in Lynch, Nebraska, where we won a state title. We were fortunate enough to go to 2 semifinals, and back then they didn't have a third or fourth place game, and had some very unique experiences there, where we had a fire alarm go off during our game and had to evacuate the building at Lincoln East. Wow. The year after we won the state tournament, and the state tournament was like kind of fun too. We won our state tournament games by an average of 20 points.
Oh wow!
We beat Loomis by 20. We beat Wausau by 25, we beat Wausau by 15 in the semis, and we beat Shickley by 25 in the finals. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a neat experience. And then the next year we had a grandparent that unfortunately passed away in the stands during warmups.
Oh my goodness.
And so it kind of took the wind out of the sails. Lynch was a town of 300 people. And so everybody knew this guy. He taught all these kids how to play cribbage and euchre. And so that kind of took the wind out of our sails. So we ended up getting beat by 3 to a very good Lindsay Holy family team that might have had 2 NFL players on their team named Bender.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty tough to counter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, they were sporting 6'6", 6'6", 6'3", and my tallest kid was 6'1".
Yeah, tough matchup.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. But I mean, those are all the things that make it unique. And one thing it did, it also made you don't take it for granted when you get there.
Yep.
And so that was kind of unique in my young career. And you know, just a little bit about Lynch is when I first got my first teaching job, and I know some of you old hat wearers that have been doing this for a long time always remember your first job, because when you get older, you start reflecting on your career a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I can remember our school secretary at Lynch. I was just excited to get a job. I just got out of college and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get a job. I got a job here. I was they hired me for the girls basketball coach. And I was at coach's clinic. I'm excited. My first year, and the school secretary calls me, and I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble, because they got me over the loudspeaker at the coach's clinic, said, hey, you need to call your school. And the school secretary gets on and goes, hey, just calling to see if you'd be interested in coaching the boys instead of the girls. And I said, well, how many games did they win last year? Oh, they didn't win any games. Mm. I said, okay. Well, how about the year before that? Oh, they didn't win any games that year either. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I have my two boys are in fifth and sixth grade at that time. My two oldest boys are in fifth and sixth grade at that time. Tyler. And I said, well, how about the year before that? Oh, they won a game that year. Yeah. So that's kind of how my coaching career started. Was I figured, you know, it can go nothing but up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we won four games that first year, five the second, seven the third, and then we had a winning record, which was our first winning record in Lynch since 1976. Mm-hmm. At that time, it was 1999. Wow. So it had been a while since we got that. Mm-hmm. And then I just felt like it was time to move on. I had met their superintendent at that time, Dallas Watkins. He was on the NSA Board of Control. I really liked this guy and got formed a friendship with him. And I said, whenever there's a job opening, you give me a call. And so he called me and said, hey, we got a job for you. And so the rest was history. And so after 12 years at Lynch, I've spent the last 17 years at Dundee County Strat.
Mm-hmm. Coach, when was, to your recollection here, and we don't use the O word on a pen and a napkin, of course, we say seasoned and experienced, but in your seasoned and experienced state, when do you recall getting out that first napkin or piece of paper and starting to write it up here? This is the Karen self, a pen and a napkin moment. When do you recall your first Karen self, a pen and a napkin moment, where you started, messing around with the X's and O's of the game and kind of fell in love with it a little bit?
You know, I'll tell you exactly when it was. Jim Carlson was the coach at Spencer Napier at that time. Then now, since it's been Boyd County, which has incorporated Lynch into it, and he coaches at O'Neill St. Mary's right now as a girls' assistant. But he lived right across the street from the church where my kids went to confirmation at. And I would spend every Wednesday at his house. I mean, it was so bad that his wife would have to kick me out. It's time for bed and Christie's to go home. It's confirmation would get over at 6 and I'd eat supper with them. And I mean, we would talk basketball, and probably one of the most knowledgeable men I've ever been around is Jim Carlson at Spencer. Mm-hmm. So that was my first pin in a napkin moment.
Mm-hmm. Coach, you've got a, you know, we all have our own different backgrounds and things that we do with our quote unquote full-time job. And we've had our fair share of coaches on here that, are administrators or have been administrators, do their job, but we don't have, I don't have too many, coaches that come on that are elementary school associate when it comes to their administrative duties. What's that kind of like for you? How does, you know, being the elementary school principal there at Dundee County Stratton, how does that tie into your program, and how do you kind of try to use that? Because obviously you're doing your stuff as a principal, but we know that the coaching part of it never really leaves your mind here. And so what are some ways that you try to help out your program while also being the principal at the elementary school?
Well, so, I mean, my role as a basketball coach has only changed in a couple areas. I have great assistant coaches. Mm-hmm. And so they have to get the practices going. I still do all the summer work. The good thing about being a principal is you don't have to work the entire summer. Well, I mean, a small town, you still work the entire summer, but I still get to do all the camps, take them all the camps, and good relationship building with the kids. The bad side or the downside of being an administrator is that I was the PE teacher, so we did a lot of basketball stuff. So when they got into junior high, they knew what drills we were going to do. And that continuity, I think, is huge. And I mean, we still have that existing continuity. It just starts at a later day now. It starts in junior high mm-hmm. instead of elementary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that would be the different part of it is keeping that continuity. But it, yeah, like you said, it's all about having those great assistant coaches that can help you out when you're not available.
It is, and I've got some really good ones, and Coach Spargo, who's very successful in football, and we're going to be successful in track, and he's the track coach. And I am fortunate to have him. He coaches three seasons, and I did that. I did that for 18 years, where you're the junior high football, high school football, junior high basketball, and high school basketball, and then junior high track and high school track. And it tends to wear on you. So, but he is a young guy, so he can handle that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, let's talk about your current team and kind of the last couple of years. You guys have had some good squads. But you know, you get to that point, especially if you make it down to the state tournament, you would love to finish off the right way, by bringing home the biggest hardware you possibly can. And you've kind of gone through a little heartbreak the last couple of times that you've been down to Lincoln, Coach. Tough losses in the semifinals in both 22 and 23. You know, how do you take that and turn it into, you know, it's obviously disappointing after you have some perspective, you feel good about it, but how do you take kind of some of those quote unquote disappointments and turn it into something that hopefully becomes bigger and better when it comes to the winning and the losing part of the job?
Well, I mean, you always want to win. I think any coach that's worth his weight in salt is their goal is to finish it at the last game of the season and be a winner.
Yeah.
Which there's only six teams that get to do that per class. Or I mean, you know, in your classes. So that's always the ultimate goal, and you want to do that. I've just been blessed with some great athletes. Had a heartbreaker to North Platte St. Pat's, lost by two. Mm-hmm. And had a shot at the end. I thought, you know, they were perfect from the line. They were 15 for 15. We were 0 for 2. That was the difference in the ball game, in my opinion. But, you know, you look at every time we've had a chance to be down there, we've always been in the game. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a big believer in moral victories. You know, just this last one, we're down to Howell's Dodge by 6. I could have probably left it at 6. But we want to try and win the game, and so we're going to foul and hopefully miss free throws and hopefully we can convert. And unfortunately they converted and we didn't. So to turn those negatives into a positive, you always got to go in the right frame of mind. We made it down here. Mm-hmm. You don't, as people sometimes take that for granted that it's easy. It's not.
Yeah.
Every year is a different team. Every year has a different obstacle. It's just you got to work at it, and you got to have a right mindset that we're going to try and put our best foot forward to win this game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think we've ever walked away from a state game saying that we didn't put our best foot forward.
Yeah.
So you look at that, but I mean, you reflect on it later and say, gosh, we won 132 out of our last games out of the last 5 years.
Yeah.
What program wouldn't want to do that?
Exactly.
And so, you know, as you get older, to me, more than the wins and losses is the relationships you build with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a lot more sentimental. You know, I never thought I'd get that way, but I'm long in the tooth now and gray in the hair. So,
yeah.
And I don't know if I'm all that wiser, but those relationships with those kids, you know, I get probably every time we make it down there, I get about 200 texts from kids.
Yeah.
Oh, that's their awesome. Former players. And that means more to me than anything. Cause yeah. I like to know what they're doing interesting and what's going on in their family and how they're doing in life. Because, you know, at the end, that's what you're doing. Cause I've coached for 29 years. I think that's pretty close to 12,000 different kids and in camp and everything else. And, I've had one professional athlete and he's playing football mm-hmm. for the Canadian Football League.
Yeah.
So what are the odds, you know, as so you're teaching these kids to be professionals in life. So, and a lot of them are, you know, I have doctors and lawyers and you go down the list. I have teachers. That's more important to me than, and hopefully when they come back and they put me in the ground, they say that this guy did me right.
Yeah.
And that's what I care about.
Well, you brought that up, Coach, about, you know, the, you know, being sentimental and that type of thing and, you know, not taking it for granted. And, I think that is, you know, so true. And when you get down there, you know, one of my favorite movies is Moneyball. And, you know, one of the main messages of the movie that Brad Pitt's, you know, Billy Beane talks about is, you know, I can control the 162 game season. I can put together that team but once you get to the postseason, it's a best of five or a best of seven or whatever it was at the time that they made the movie. And, you know, in the state tournament is in some ways kind of like, you know, you don't want to take what you have done for 3.5 months and either say it was a success or a failure based on the 32 minutes that you might play at that state tournament game. It's more about the catalog of work that you've done as a team, the relationships you've built, the transformational lessons that you've been able to put out there for them. Like you said, I love that phrase that you use, to make them professionals at life. I think that is much more the evaluation process than it is a random 32 minutes at the state tournament or whatever that may be.
Well, and again, that's why you kind of cherish every time you get down there, because you don't know.
Yeah.
And here's a good example. As my 29 years, I've been down to the state tournament 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in a lot more district finals than that. So I'd say half my career, I mean, I don't know the facts. I don't know offhand. I knew to only qualify 10 for 10 years. But I think at least half my career, I don't think I'm exaggerating, that we've made it to the district championships. I was talking to a coach that had been there doing this for 50 years, and he's still coaching. And I said, how many times have you made it down here? He goes, we made it 3 times.
Wow.
So, and there's a lot of schools that haven't made it down there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I've just kind of been in the right place where their basketball, they wanted to learn and they wanted to be good. And I mean, it's always fun, especially the first time. You know, Lynch had never qualified for state, and we made it. That was probably one of the most exciting times, was just getting down there, because that you just can't replace that thrill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess Jim Carlson, who's another good friend of mine, John Miller at Stewart, who has coached and won and the women's with Chambers.
Yep.
And then one at Southern Valley, and then now it's qualified at Stewart with boys as well. And there's nothing like that first time.
Yep.
There's nothing like it. I mean, the community is all excited about it. And, you know, that's kind of one thing I like about small town Nebraska, is that everybody who wants to go to the game, everybody is supportive. And we've had a great fan base
mm-hmm.
at Dundee County. I mean, we travel really well, and as, you know, shown as the, especially with the invention of Strive and YouTube TV, where they broadcast all the games, but we still have a good traveling that people want to say that we were there when that team made it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always fun. It's always fun to listen to them tell stories about what they got away with. And I'm not going to get into that part, because I didn't think they got away with anything.
You're the principal. They're not supposed to.
Well, the elementary, they don't.
Yeah, exactly. So youth sports today has become a billion-dollar industry nationwide, and grassroots basketball has been at the epicenter of this explosion. These days, players, parents, and handlers chase the almighty scholarship, NIL deals, and branding creation. However, there is still one place where basketball coaches and players come to develop their games without the fanfare and adulation of recruiting gurus, next-level evaluations, and social media highlight reels. It's not a basketball camp. It's a basketball school. Snow Valley Basketball School started as the brainchild of Herb Livesey, who, as a young adult, was inspired by the great Bob Cousy to start his own basketball camp. Starting in 1961 at Snow Valley Ski Resort, east of Los Angeles, before moving to Westmont College in Santa Barbara, Livesey's school was a place for the game's greatest coaches to teach the game throughout the 1970s and 80s. Two Iowans, Don Showalter and Jerry Slykus, adopted Livesey's curriculum, bringing the school to Wartburg College in Waverly, Iowa in 1994. This summer will be a celebration of its 30th anniversary of Snow Valley in the Hawkeye State. Here, over 1,400 campers will start each day before dawn and end after the sun goes down. Snow Valley Basketball School is America's longest continuously running basketball camp. It's where players come to learn and coaches come to teach. For those that come there every summer, it is the home to the last of the Cowboys. The Last of the Cowboys, the story of Snow Valley Basketball School, will be available on Amazon on July 1st, 2025. Paperback copies will be available for $17.99, while Kindle copies will be available for pre-order for $9.99. Get to know the story of America's longest continuous basketball camp. Coach, let's talk a little bit about some of your big influence here. Let's talk about two of them in particular here. Let's start with a guy that's influenced a lot of people in our state, Tom Crop, Kearney State, Nebraska Kearney, whatever you want to call it, depending on when you graduated from the institution. But what were some of the big things that you took from Coach Crop?
Well, first of all, I was kind of interesting story. I went graduated from high school, and I went played basketball at UNO for a year with Coach Hansen, and then I moved back to the Kearney area where I grew up, and I was just playing basketball at noon one day, and they needed an extra guy, and that's how Coach Crop and I became friends, and I think I stayed an extra year in college. I know my wife swears by this, just so I could play basketball in the noon basketball association.
But your priorities were straight.
Absolutely. And it's, I mean, you know, to watch a former pro basketball player play, you know, I started when, of course, you know, on through my career, I got to come back and I got to spend a lot of time with him. So it was like a coach's clinic every day. But the biggest thing that he told me that I'll remember this till the day I die is you need to practice KISS. Keep it simple, and I'll just keep it simple, sweetie. Basketball is a very simple game. You want to outscore the opponent. And the way you do that is you put the ball through the iron hoop. And you got to play defense, and you got to stop them from scoring more points than you do. And if you do that, you're going to win a lot of games. So don't make it any more complicated than what it is. Mm-hmm. So in that aspect, on the defense, we play a aggressive full court pressure, whether it's a 1-2-2 press, whether it's a full court man press, or it's half court man. We're aggressive with it, and we keep it pretty simple. This is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. What about, Coach McDermott, you know, just great season, again, by the Blue Jays, round of 32, lucky enough to know Coach Mack myself, you know, and I know I've taken some things from him. What are some things that you've taken from Coach McDermott from afar?
So Coach McDermott, was at Wayne State. Not a whole lot of people remember this, but he, was the head coach at Wayne State College, which was close to Lynch, and
yep.
Well, I shouldn't say close, but close enough that I had summer league down there and we went to all his team camps. And and so I got to know a lot of good people from there. Rico Burkett was assistant coach. Eric Henderson, who's now at Drake, was his graduate assistant. Actually, he went, he played. Gosh, I'm old.
Seasoned and experienced.
Seasoned and experienced. And so I got to spend a lot of time. I take every once in a while, I take my kids down to Creighton from Denny County to Creighton campus. It's exactly 5 hours and 42 minutes. And it's so because we are in a different time zone. But absolutely love to see him. And I tell you what, every game you watch is a coach's clinic for him. I mean, he does such a phenomenal job. And I don't know how many blobs and slobs I've stole from him over the years, but it's a ton. And set plays. He's I think the master of that. I don't know if there's anyone better.
When at one point I did ask him, you know, hey, can we just, or what did I can't remember exactly how I put it, but it was something like, if you're ever having like a skull session or whatever, you know, I'd love to be able to swing in. And he kind of smiled. He's like, okay, you know, and I never got the call, which is fine, you know. You know, it was like, you know, you can watch what you want to on TV, but I'm not going to let you know everything that I got going on up here. And you know, coach is just a terrific job. I think I've said it here on multiple times. I think this might have been one of his best coaching jobs. And this goes all the way back to Wayne. I was at Briarcliff at the time. And so our men's teams at Briarcliff would play Wayne and saw the way that his teams operated and the way that they executed. And boy, he had some really, really good ball clubs there. And he's just taken that and taken it to a completely different level at Creighton. And they're doing pretty well in the transfer portal here as well. So I don't think the Jays are going away anytime soon.
No, he's done, and I'll age him because he's my age.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
he's got a little higher profile job than I do, but I don't think it's any different than like I said. I mean, you do it for the relationships and you do it because you want to make these young men productive in their lives. And he does a great job of that. And I hope I do the same down here, but he treats us well. I mean, it's always what I like, especially bringing them down there, is these kids. First of all, a lot of them haven't been to a big city.
Yep.
And when they do go, it's kind of awe-inspiring, like, wow. And then they meet Coach McDermott. He's always taking time to take a team picture with us. Mm-hmm. And so he treats us A1 all the way.
Yep. You have a celebrity status. It's just a little bit different there in Stratton there, but you know, you've been there a while, and sometimes that could be, you know, a lot of times obviously things are going well if you decide to stay at a place, but also there can be some drawbacks. What are some things that you've really enjoyed about being at Dundee County Stratton for the time period that you have, while also, you know, what are some things that maybe at times it's a little bit of a struggle being at a place for an extended period of time, Coach?
Well, and I think, I don't think I ever had this problem at Lynch. I just thought that my youngest son was going to be in a class where there would only be about 7 boys in high school. And I thought it was going to be tough for him to compete. And I wanted him to compete at a higher level. You know, being here for 17 years, and my worst record was 13-11 my first year here. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had a losing season since. So that kind of is, the kids have kind of taken that, the tradition, and saying, we got to compete and we're not going to be that class that does that.
Yeah.
That has that first losing season. Mm-hmm. And so saying that, we've had a lot of success in the past. I think we made the state tournament 6 out of the last 9, I think. And so success is, you just kind of expect it, but it's a new cast every year.
Yeah.
I graduated a kid that's going to be a star at Fort Hays State in football. And he was a young kid. He could have been here one more year. I always kind of kid him about that. If you would have stayed here one more year, we would have got that trophy. Uh-huh. And I really believe that.
Yeah.
Because that is a phenomenal athlete. I think you're going to hear about him when he plays for Fort Hays, because I think Fort Hays got a diamond in the rough, because I think he could have played at a higher level. He's that athletic, and he's going to be that. He's got that big of a frame in Jackson Kirchhoff. So, I mean, you know, the drawbacks are, it's just expected now. And I don't think people realize how time consuming, how much time the coaching staff puts into breaking down film, to making a game plan, to making a practice plan, because it just doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's a grind. And, I remember, we used to do a deal when I was at Scutt, I got this from Coach Terman. It was called Monday Night Moms. And like once a month we would bring, basically stay late on a Monday because we never had games on Mondays. And we would have a meeting with any moms that wanted to show up, and we would have topics that we would talk about. I remember one of the times we were talking about watching film after a game, and I brought out, you know, here's my notes that, you know, after I get home, this is what I do. We watch the game before I go to bed and do all these different things. And this is long before huddle or anything like that. There I'm dating myself in that regard, Coach. And one of the moms was like, you do that? Yeah. After every game? Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to. And all of these things. So I think that is kind of the unknown thing that some people don't realize is just the time, the effort, the energy that you put into it that you don't know. I mean, if you're going to be any good at anything, if you're going to be good at being a lawyer, if you're going to be good at being a farmer, it's about the time that you put in and making yourself into the best professional that you possibly can be.
Yep. That's so true. I was talking with Coach Joe Hesse at Humphrey High Lindsay Holy Family.
Yep.
He goes, you know, I've often thought about this, and he's kind of got a sense of humor of his old man Rick Hesse, who God rest his soul, passed away a few years ago. And but he goes, you know, I've often wondered if I ran my own business and I put as much time into my $3,000 job of coaching into a business, would I be successful? And yep. How much money could I make?
yes, exactly. Oh yeah, it'd be scary. You never want to know. You know, I know some coaches try to keep track of how much would I have made per hour. It's like, no, you don't want to know that. Trust me, you don't want to know. You know, and I never did that, but I know others have. And I mean, it's frightening, the number that they threw out. I'm like,
someone asked me that in Lynch. This is my 10th year. About how much time I put into it and how much hour if I make, including what I get paid during the season. I said, well, I don't get paid during the summer. Mm-hmm. What do you mean you don't get paid during the summer? I said, I don't get paid in the summer. And I said, so if you want to count those hours, I said, I'll just tell you what, I get paid $1.25 an hour for all the time and hours I put in during the season.
Yeah.
I said, and the older you get, all of a sudden that lack of sleep, because I usually run on a 5 hour or 4 hour to 5 hour sleep schedule during the season. And that catches up to you when you get older. But thank God a huddle came along, and now it's almost information overload.
Yes. Yes. It can be a positive and a negative in that regard. So
it is, but I mean, one thing about it, and that's the one thing that I've seen that has evolved, is that kids really pay attention to film sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Before, when we had the VCR, they get all giggle because they were on TV, and now it's they're concentrating on what the other team's doing, and they understand where they're going and what they're trying to do with a certain player, a certain blob, and they do a good job of calling it out, saying this is what's going to happen, and yep. Usually can kind of create a turnover out of it.
Yeah. Coach, let's talk about your plan here. You know, you've got 30 days left of school, so that means, you know, the summer season is kind of right around the corner here. What are you looking to, or what have you been working on to get better at your craft here to help coach your kids, hopefully just, 1 or 2% better than you did a couple of months ago?
So again, I watch, again, the good thing or bad thing about that, the advent of all the streaming services, you can watch about every game you can. Mm-hmm. I'm a big NCAA tournament nut. I watched all Nebraska's games and watched all the ones that they were going to play. And of course I watched all the NCAA tournament. And so I write down, and this is something that's just kind of become a habit, is you jot down those out of bounds plays, those set plays that are ran during late game situations. And, here's a good lesson. Duke, who hadn't had a close game all year, should have not lost that game, but they hadn't been in that situation.
Yeah.
And here you go from a 6-point lead with 32.6 seconds left and you lose the game by three.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guarantee if you've been in this game long enough, you've been in that situation.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly what, we had discussed that on a different podcast. Absolutely. Yep. So, that's kind of the stuff that you're looking at.
Yeah, absolutely. I look at what we're going to do in the summer. Mm-hmm. We do a fireworks stand as a fundraiser, and that affords us to go to a lot of different things. We're looking at going to the Creighton camp this year because this might or might not be my last year. Mm-hmm. And so I want to end it out on style and basically end it with the one I started with.
Yep.
In Coach McDermott. We'll go to the Kearney High School camp and then UNK basketball camp and then finish up with Cozad. And then in between, Coach Spargo does a great job getting these kids in the weight room. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I just saw a deal on X this morning that, one of the most successful football programs in the last 5 years has been Dundee County Stratton. They are 48-7. So, and that's his love, but he also brings the passion to the hardwood. And so he gets these kids in the weight room. And then after the weight room, they go spend about an hour in the gym on their shots and what they need to get better at. So, the thing I think our big thing this year to get ready for next year is confidence. Don't worry about, next play. And sometimes we have a little bit of problem. I know it's hard to believe, but sometimes we have a little bit of heart, belief system. And if we screw up, I don't want to do that again, but good shooters shoot. And so that's what we got to preach. And that's what we're going to get better at.
Mm-hmm. Coaches are absolutely loving our Taking Over a New Program booklet. As many of you know, I spent 2 years outside of coaching, and during that time, I hung a note card in my workspace at school that said, "Strip the house down to the studs." I took that time to really rethink and reorganize my thoughts on what it takes to run a transformational program. As I prepared for the possibility of coaching again, I organized these thoughts into this 96-page booklet. How much do I trust this booklet? I used this booklet as I went on interviews to help sell myself and my vision for what my new program would look like. If I'm using it to sell myself, why wouldn't I recommend it to you, my listeners? This booklet will help you look at any part of your program, no matter what stage you're at in your program, and help improve it in some way. It's all yours for only $15, which includes shipping and handling. For more information, email me at apenandanapkin@gmail.com. Coach, let's switch gears here a little bit. Let's talk a little John Wooden. How does that sound?
Okay.
All right. It is time for our Wooden quote of the day from Wooden, A Lifetime of Observations. Coach Chris Freeland, are you ready for the John Wooden quote of the day?
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Page 126 of Wooden, A Lifetime of Observations. Here it is. There is nothing to be ashamed of when you've prepared to the best of your ability, but you have ample cause to be dejected when you know you didn't prepare properly when you had the ability to do so.
The Coach Kropp was a big John Wooden guy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of his quotes were from John Wooden, which I think you assimilate to the coaches when you were players or when you were playing, and UCLA had a big, was big at that time in the '70s. And,
yep.
And, that's one person I always like to shake hands of all the coaches in our coaches clinic. Mm-hmm. And the only person I never going to shake hands with was Coach Wooden.
Wow.
That I've been to. I've shaken hands with Kelvin Sampson. I've actually broke bread with Roy Williams in Chapel Hill. He was good friends with Pete Seagroves, who was a good friend of my little brother's. We went out to a golf tournament. And you know what? Every single one of those coaches quoted John Wooden some way or the other.
Yep. Yep. Well, he's the GOAT. He's perhaps the greatest coach ever at any level of any sport. And I mean, there's so many good ones out there, and, he's just so wise. And if he wanted to, kind of like what you were talking about with Coach Hesse and what he was saying about the money that he spent, if he'd invested that time in a business, how much money he would have made. Coach Wooden could have been a multimillionaire Warren Buffett type of guy with the intelligence level. The emotional intelligence that he had is perhaps the most important thing that he had in his repertoire.
Oh, absolutely. Again, what was I going to say now? I like one of his quotes where he took time out of practice to teach his players how to tie shoes.
Yeah, so they wouldn't get blisters. And,
yeah. And because if you don't know how to tie your shoes right, I don't know how you're going to learn how to run a basketball play.
Yeah. Yeah, it all starts somewhere, and
But again, if you read any of the things that he wrote, the biggest things he talks about, and again, talking about with any coaches is the relationships you develop with your players.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I mean, that's probably my biggest joy is when my former players call me or text me just to see how things are going. Cale Jacobson had a really good game, and I got a text from one of my former players. He goes, "Hey, I remember guarding this kid in summer."
And he went right by you? Hopefully he didn't.
No, actually, it was a pretty good battle. Playing football for the Hastings Broncos, it just went, but they were freshmen at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we always went to, when I had enough kids, when I had enough back then, I had enough freshmen. We'd go to Wahoo for the freshman tournament with Coach Kevin. Mm-hmm. And so we play Ashland. Of course, Jake Mose, the coach there, is great job with Ashland Greenwood. And he's a UNK guy. So I got to spend a lot of time working UNK camps, which is probably one of the better things that I ever did as a coach was spending time with kids that played it and coaches that coached it and just picking up on different drills that you could bring back to your team that weren't complete. You didn't get complacent by doing the same drills.
Yep. Yep.
But again, you go back to John Wooden and, one of my favorite quotes is success is never final. Failure is never fatal.
Yep.
It's courage that counts.
Yep.
And so you'll be more concerned with your character than your reputation.
Yep. Yep. All of those things. Just that's what made him so brilliant. So, and that's why we keep talking about him, even though he's been gone for quite a while now. So, Coach, let's get into your philosophy. Let's take a look at your stuff here. You've developed a really, really good program down there. Like you said, you've been in the state tournament 6 of the last 8 or 9 years. And that comes with work. Your kids are putting in work. You're putting in work. But you're a small community in a very rural area of the state. And, so you don't have a lot of the quote unquote built-in advantages of being, just go play some AAU and come back to me and be ready to go for the winter or whatever it may be. A lot of that stuff is driven by your program. And you're talking about all the camps that you're taking your kids to this summer as well. You know, just talk about all the process that it takes for you to develop your kids and get them ready to play for the Tigers there at Dundee County Strat. You know, a lot of your players serve as managers, you know, all those different things. What's in the water there that you got going on at DCS?
I think consistency is the one thing. I think we've got our coaches all on the same page. I mean, it helps with the Coach Spargo, you know, coach with football, and kind of we both have the same philosophy as putting our best foot forward in anything we do. And they do that. And Coach Spargo, you know, he's the younger coach, so they relay a little bit to him. So I can kind of have a hands-off approach now where I had to have the hands-on before. And unfortunately, when you get older, your body tends to say, hey, I can't do this anymore. And so the relationships you develop with your kids to work hard, to develop to work hard, whether they're working in the weight room for the football or for basketball, for track and field, or even golf in that matter, it matters a lot. And so if you have consistency, and again, so we're dealing with all the same kids in all those sports. So one luxury we've had is I was the PE teacher. So in younger grades, we were starting with little kids camp. So this is the drill we're going to do in high school. This is how I want you to do it. I want you to be efficient by the time you get up to high school. This is one of our favorite drills. We learned how to play man-to-man defense at an early age. And it's one of them, because I'm a big believer, if you're going to play zone, you better learn how to play man-to-man, because zone is just a big man-to-man defense in my book.
Yep.
So I think that consistency throughout the programs that that we've developed, and the camaraderie between the coaching staff and the kids, see the coaches get along. And I think that just helps matters as they get older. Mm-hmm. And they say, hey, these coaches believe in us. We're going to play hard for you.
Mm-hmm. What, you know, how fun is it to just see those kids grow, to be in your system, to be part of, you know, like you said, they're going on the road trips with you as managers, they're riding the bus with you, and just to see them kind of progress, probably, I'm guessing, further and further to the back of the bus as their career goes on. What's that process like?
Absolutely. And I mean, there's a fight to be managers, just because they know they're going to go on the bus trips with them, and they're going to gain some knowledge. All my student managers take stats.
Mm-hmm.
I think that helps them learn the game. And I think the higher the basketball IQ knowledge, the better you're going to be as a player, because you're not always athletically gifted.
Yep.
But your knowledge can, and we've had some kids that have had some, I think I told you that off the air, was that we ran about 22 different set plays this year, which in years past, if we could run two or three and remember it, you know, that would be great. And so, you know, I've always kind of been a believer than running a continuity offense. If you can teach them how to score and how to play the game and how to read the defense, then you kind of you've won the battle there. Coach Spargo says, I think these guys can run set play. Let me talk it through it. And by gosh, they did a pretty good job. And we come out with a couple different set plays every quarter. And usually it resulted in a quick score. So, you know, realizing that we have that ability to keep those same kids, and they're probably going to be with us through our entire system, to start at a young age to progress. There's been kids that didn't even think they were going to ever play to be starters their senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always a fun thing to see.
Yep. Hey, folks, want to talk a little bit about our sponsor for the coaching staff, Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust, All-American Used Cars and Trucks. Had to bring my car in just last week, and Juan Carlos and everybody there took great care of me. They've got some great deals for you folks here, and you're going to want to listen carefully to this. If you're in the Omaha area and you need an oil change, you need to go to Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust, 4839 North 90th Street here in Omaha. If you go there on Wednesday, it's only $15 for the labor on your oil change. You need to mention a pen and a napkin, but it's only $15 on Wednesdays for the labor for your oil changes. If you need a new set of tires, go to Ruiz Auto And it is, if you get a set of four tires, they'll take $75 off if you mention a pen and a napkin. And finally, All-American Used Cars and Trucks, 144th and I-80 there. If you say a pen and a napkin 2025, if you mention a pen and a napkin 2025, it is $300 off of any used car or truck out at All-American Used Cars and Trucks. So if you are in the need of an oil change, if you are in need of a new set of tires, if you are in the need of a nice new to you automobile, you need to go check out Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust, again, 4839 North 90th Street here in Omaha, or All-American Used Cars and Trucks, 144th and I-80 here in Omaha. Coach, let's talk about mints. Let's talk about mints. And when you sent your stuff in, I'm like, whew. Yeah, we're gonna talk about this one. Some unique traditions that you have there within your program.
Okay, so this got started back in my Lynch days. I can't remember if it was Phil Jackson or John Wooden. No, I know it was John Wooden. He says, you need to make sure you learn something every day. You need to make sure you learn something every day. So one is make sure you read a book. Well, so I always grabbed a book, and one of them was I think on basketball drills and philosophies, and so he said, you want to wake up the mind, and the fastest way to wake up your mind is by mint. Is smelling the smell of mint wakes up your brain. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, what can I do that would be cheap? I can't just bring a mint plant to them, a leaf, and have them smell it or something like that. I said, you know what? I think I'll try these Tic Tacs out. So we got these mint Tic Tacs. Whether that did or anything or not, I don't know, but it's kind of been a superstition that we, before every game, I gave them one Tic Tac. It was a cheap deal because I could get a three games out of one deal of Tic Tacs. So it didn't cost me a whole lot of money because, you know, as well as I do on a teacher's salary, that can be expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That was before the administrative days.
That was before the administrative days. Yeah. And so then it kind of progressed that I had one kid that said, I don't like these mint Tic Tacs. I said, well, how about a fruit flavor? So we give them orange Tic Tacs or fruit flavors now because it's just kind of turned into a superstition. It's something that you need to believe in, that, hey, here we go. We're going to get set. Let's get our mind right. And it's just kind of one of those little things, one of those little ticks that you have.
But it's something that they're always going to remember.
It's something they always remember, and they absolutely do. Mm-hmm. It started out as something that I thought was, oh, this will help these kids. Let's give them an edge here. Let's wake up their brain. To now, it's just something that it's 3 minutes before the game. Now it's ready to get focused. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what it's turned into.
Yep.
And kids won't let me forget it either. they won't. I had to go get somebody. I mean, there was one time in my 29-year career that I didn't have any Tic Tac, and I had to have the store owner go down and open the store and give me a deal of Tic Tacs because they weren't going to play that game unless I had one. And so about 5 minutes, I was kind of worried because about 5 minutes before tip off, they run in with this deal of Tic Tacs. So it's kind of silly, but it does kind of, now it focuses that little thing, that little tick again that gets them ready to saying, okay, now let's get focused, it's time to play ball.
Yeah, well, see, you know, that's the reason why you've been to the state tournament six times in the last 8 or 9 years. I mean, I stood in the same spot in my living room for games 5, 6, and 7 of the 2016 of the World Series, and that's the reason why the Cubs won. It had nothing to do with, you know, David Ross or Javi Baez or any of those guys. I mean, it's all about the superstition, right, Chris?
It absolutely is. I mean, if you live, you're up in Nebraska, I guarantee you, whether it's a great game or a Husker game, that you've either turned in circles three times and barked at the moon, because that's what's going to help the Huskers or the Blue Jays win their games.
Yeah. Yeah. What we got time for one more thing here, Coach. You want to talk defense or you want to talk some out of bounds plays?
Oh, whatever your preference is.
I tell you what, let's talk some out of bounds plays. Let's talk about what you do with your baseline out of bounds plays, sideline out of bounds plays on both the offensive and the defensive end of things. Let's talk offense first here and what you try to do there with your program.
Well, again, we try. So our baseline out of bounds plays are guys, I've been running one of the same blobs for the last 15 years, and it still works. In fact, it worked at the state tournament against Howell's Dodge. It's one of those things. We run it so well that we got it from Billy Donovan down at Florida. So we gave it a really simple name. We call it Gator. Gator C, Gator in, and Gator out. So now you know my secrets, but
yeah,
we always change. Talking about huddle. Coaches now listen to the audio to see what it's called or to hear it, what we're seeing on the sideline. And so we have to change the names of it. It's kind of like changing your signals in a pitch count, what pitch is coming from your catcher.
Yep.
So, but that's what we originally called it, was we just ran a 1-2-1 set where two guys would cross. We have the same action on all three of them, and it just depended on what we called was where the ball was going to go. Obviously, in was going to be for layup, out was going to be for a three-pointer, and seam was going to be cutting right down the middle for a lob, for a layup. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's one of those things I like to steal from the coaches. McDermott, you know, he's a guru at this.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that if I was in a timeout and for last second shot, I would hope that Coach McDermott would be my host. Like, you'd do the calling, I'll just listen. Because that's where you get a lot of those steals from. And then, you know, what we've also done is we take some of our set plays and run it as a blob.
Mm-hmm.
Which we've become successful with. And so we like to mix it up. We have a 1-4 low. We ran a lot of different sets out of that. We, of course, everybody runs the box set. And the last thing I think we put in is with a wheel with a screen to screener that rolls back the post. And somehow the simplest play makes it work. I don't know if it's we're acting like we're going to screen somebody and then all of a sudden we get a lob. Mm-hmm. And I let's see, this was in 2000 or this is, yeah, 2017. And we ran a simple play for Phelan Sanford that we were going to act like we screened for him. And he came out to pop out for the three, and the kid that was setting the screen would be open every single time. I mean, it was just a simple, just not even run to the block, but set a screen out by the three-pointer and just continue the basket. Everybody was running after a three-point shooter, and that lob was open. And I tell them this all the time. I said, if you would have dunked this, we probably would have won that game.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
And then, you know, that's the thing, too. You know, I'll make no bones about it. When you have great athletes, they make you look like a good coach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's if you want to have a great career as a coach, get great players, give them a few simple standards and rules to go by, and then let them rip.
That's truth. I had three kids that were on that state championship team in Lynch that ended up with 1,500 points for their career.
Wow.
You know, that's saying something. I've had five over a thousand. I'll have my sixth one this year, and barring any injuries, God bless him. He's at 968 right now, so he'll be my 6,000 point scorer in Dunny County history.
Wow.
So that's, you know, we've taken, you know, that's what I guess I, you know, as a coach, I look back and the consistency of kids I've had through the program, it's mind-boggling, a small school. I guess I don't know. There's too many others that are Fall City Sacred Heart. You know, Powell's Dodge.
Yep.
But I just, you know, that consistency is unbelievable.
Yep.
And so I think that's a mark that says the kids in the community are very supportive of what we're trying to do. And again, winning isn't everything. But character and how you go about it to get to that point says a lot about you, because, you know, whether you win or lose, you need to learn something from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the philosophies we have, and unfortunately we've had a lot of bigger schools drop us from the schedule, but our schedule isn't easy. Mm-hmm. You know, we play our conference teams, and when we go outside of conference, I mean, we play Cozad, and we played Goodland, Kansas, who got runner up in state this year, and Alliance, Nebraska, which, you know, that was a really neat thing for us. You know, here we go up to play a Class B school. We're a D1 school at that time, and I mean, I think we still are. But, you know, those bigger schools, it's always fun to play them. It's always fun to play the Chase County. You know, that's, I mean, a county rival, but, you know, they're twice as big as this. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, but that's going to make us better, because I think philosophy is iron sharpens iron. And so if you want to be successful at it, then you're going to work at it, and you're not working at it just for sports. You're going to work at it in life. And again, that's what we're creating, you know, educating is professionals, getting ready to be a dad, a good dad, or, you know, or just a good human being and a productive citizen. And again, the relationships that you develop are second to none, especially when you get to my age.
Yeah. Well, Coach, you've been consistent for you've had consistent winners for a long time, and you've been you have been the one consistent there the entire time. So don't sell yourself short. You're doing a terrific job yourself there. So, Coach, if folks want to know more about you, if they want to know more about your program, how can they find out about it?
Well, I mean, you can give me my email is kfreeland, just like it sounds, K, and then freeland at dcstigers.org. You always entertain. I'm probably the best burglar in the world, because that's how you get better in this business is you beg, borrow, and steal.
Yep.
And I guess you can reach me on my cell if you want my cell. It's 402-340-4155.
Okay. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. Coach, it's been a privilege and a pleasure to have you on the podcast here. I hope you've enjoyed your first go around here with a pen and a napkin.
Absolutely. I kind of laughed I chuckled to myself when this first came out, because I think I told you that off air, the best coaches clinics are on a pen and a napkin.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we believe in that here at a pen and a napkin. I believe in that. That's why we do it every year. That's shameless plug. We got our films, we got our tapes from the clinics that we had this weekend here in Omaha here. So if you were unable to check that out, you could definitely do that. And if you want to know more, and if you're in southwestern Nebraska, make the journey down to Stratton, Nebraska and talk to Coach Freeland, because he's got a terrific program going there. Or if you're in Omaha, I'm assuming Coach Mack's team camp is probably in June sometime.
Yep.
Yep. So you could check out the Tigers there as they make the, was it 5 hours and 42 minutes on the nose there, Chris? That's what it was.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. No stops along the way, kids. No runs is no nothing. We're going straight through.
The good news is it's usually right around the first round of the NCAA baseball tournament too. So, again, when you live this far out in the sticks, when you get that way, you got to enjoy the city as much as possible. And, believe it or not, there's a candy shop in the old market that
the Hollywood Candy visit, Company.
What's that?
The Hollywood Candy Company.
How'd you know? Yeah,
Dad, these are things that I know.
These are and might have a connection to Bankelman, Nebraska.
Well, there's a lot of history down in that area, but we won't bore the history nerds won't bore them with that right here on air. Maybe we can talk about that off there, Coach. So, but hey, yes, Chris Freeland, head boys basketball coach. If you can hold the line here, we got to wrap up a couple of things. Want to thank Coach Freeland for his time here this week. Again, he's got a really nice program that he's got cooking there at Dundee County Stratton. I want to thank him. We want to thank our founding sponsor, of course, Cosac Chiropractic. Follow us on Twitter at a pen and a napkin. Download, rate, review, subscribe, do all that fun stuff when it comes to the podcast itself. Questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas, email me apenandanapkin@gmail.com. Go check out apenandanapkin.com. A lot of really, really good stuff for coaches to take a look at there on the website. We've just got more and more things popping out here from A Pen and a Napkin. So, you know, appreciate all the support that folks have given this. So, coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.